Hi, I'm Robin.
And I'm Chris. Together we're the Gen X couple.
Hey guys.
Take two, not my fault. Hello, everyone.
It was my fault because I was going to say take one and I said, hey guys, and like really fast. And then I paused or I hesitated and I couldn't get out take one. So I messed it up and I didn't like the way it sounded. So here we are in take two. We ruined our streak. We had three good weeks and now look at us. So anyway, I'm in a great mood. Today, it's part two of our beginner's guide to planning your Walt Disney World vacation. And you know I love Disney, so I'm super excited to be talking about more things Disney today. In part one, we covered how to book your trip, the different park ticket options, the different hotel categories, and transportation options around the Disney property. I hope we didn't overwhelm you guys too much. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I would definitely recommend going back and doing that before you listen to this episode.
We talked about the parks a little bit last week, but today we're going to start off by getting into a little more detail about not only the parks, but everything else on the Disney property.
Right, because you might be wondering, how do I make the most of my time? With four theme parks, two water parks, Disney Springs, there's a ton to see and do. Today, we're going to give you a full breakdown of each park, what makes them so special, and what you can't miss. So let's jump right in. The Magic Kingdom is the classic Disney park. You know, the one with Cinderella Castle, Main Street USA, and all the nostalgic Disney magic. It's divided into six themed lands. Fantasyland, which is home to Peter Pan's Flight, It's a Small World, and the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Tomorrowland, which features Space Mountain, Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin. One of my favorites, the Carousel of Progress. I love the song. And another one of my favorites, actually, the People Mover. Adventureland has Pirates of the Caribbean and the Jungle Cruise. Frontierland is home to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and the Country Bear Jamboree. Liberty Square is where you'll find my all-time favorite Disney attraction, the Haunted Mansion and the Hall of Presidents, and then, of course, Main Street USA, which is the perfect spot for shopping, some dining, Casey's Corner hot dogs are delicious, and the best view of the fireworks. Must-do experiences, I would say the parade, the Happily Ever After fireworks, and, of course, meeting Mickey Mouse.
Now, Epcot is split into two main sections. You got World Celebration, World Discovery, and World Nature, formerly known as the Epcot Center. This part of the park is home to the Spaceship Earth, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, Test Track, and Soarin'. And the World Showcase features 11 pavilions representing different countries with unique food, entertainment, and shopping.
Yes, these countries are Mexico, because when you enter the World Showcase, the correct way to start walking is to the left. I know some people start to the right in Canada. That is incorrect. Always start in Mexico. So there's Mexico, Norway, China, Germany, Italy, United States, the American Adventure, Japan, Morocco, France, the United Kingdom, and Canada. Each pavilion has restaurants, shops, and attractions related to its respective country. Some also feature rides or films showcasing the country's culture and history, such as Frozen Ever After in Norway and Remy's Ratatouille Adventure in France.
And you know what I like the most? On each country, they have college students from those countries.
Yeah, I know. I think that's cool, too. And if you guys love food, like Chris and I do, Epcot is definitely the place to be, especially during its seasonal festivals like the Food and Wine Festival. We're not going to get into too much detail about the Food and Wine Festival in this episode, though. We're going to save that for, I think, part four.
Next is a Hollywood Studios is a must for any Star Wars or Pixar fans. Highlights include Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge. You can ride the Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, and Star Wars Rise of the Resistance. Toy Story Land, home to Slinky Dog Dash and the Toy Story Mania. Sunset Boulevard, where you'll find the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster.
Although I think they're retheming that into a Muppets roller coaster.
And one of our favorites is the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad.
Railway.
Railway, a family-friendly ride featuring classic Mickey animation.
Yes, that is my second favorite Disney attraction. And don't forget Fantasmic. That's an incredible nighttime show that features fireworks, water projections, and your favorite Disney characters.
And, well, the Indiana Jones show is at Hollywood Studios.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot to mention
That
that.
is one of my favorite shows.
I know they have this Indiana Jones stunt spectacular. I forget if that's the name of it, but they recreate a couple of scenes in the movie and they show you how they did the stunts. And I think the most iconic one that everybody remembers is the big
Boulder.
boulder, and they show how Indy escapes getting smushed by a boulder.
And they have shows throughout the day. And don't
Yep.
worry about seating because the arena sits like 1,000 people.
Yeah, if it's a lot of people, and they do multiple shows every day, so if you don't get in for one, you'll get into the next one, I'm sure.
And next is the Animal Kingdom, which is a mix of theme park thrillers
Thrills.
and thrills and a wildlife sanctuary. The top attractions are Pandora, the World of Avatar, Flight of Passage is a must ride, Expedition Everest, a thrilling roller coaster through the Himalayas, and Kilimanjaro Safaris, a real safari where you can see lions, giraffes, elephants, and more.
It's incredible.
Their park also has incredible live shows like the Festival of Lion King and Finding Nemo, the Blue, Big Blue, and Beyond.
Yeah, and we mentioned it before, but there are two water parks on Disney property. There's Blizzard Beach, which is themed like a melted ski resort. It has Summit Plummet, one of the tallest water slides in the world there. And then there's Typhoon Lagoon, which is home to the largest wave pool in North America. And then it's got the Crush and Gush water coaster, which is both of those are perfect for cooling off on a hot Florida summer day.
And the water parks, they have the mini golf right next
Yeah,
to them.
Mickey's Winter Summerland is at Blizzard Beach, and it is the same sort of theming, like a melted winter sort of situation. We've been there, and it's fun.
Yes. And then if you need a break from the parks, which I don't know why, but there is Disney Springs is the place to go. It's packed with restaurants, shops, and entertainment, including World of Disney, the biggest Disney store
Oh,
ever.
I love the World of Disney.
The Lego store, fun for all ages with life-size Lego sculptures. The Boathouse, a waterfront restaurant with incredible
Let's see if you
seafood
can pronounce this.
and Amakar boat tours.
Amphibicar, which is like they're boats that are shaped like cars, so it looks like you're riding a car on the water.
Yep. And there's also live music, a bowling alley, and even a hot air balloon ride.
Did you forget Gideon's Bakehouse?
Oh,
I think
yes.
you did, and that is a must mention because if you go to Disney Springs and don't get a cookie from Gideon's Bakehouse, then you're not living. Of course, you
It's a
do.
meal in itself.
It is because they're huge, but my God, they're incredible. And I'm not even like a huge cookie fan, but their cookies are off the charts, delicious. But if like you get there on a weekend, you have to get a number because it's small and people line up early.
Yes.
So they do hand out numbers. So be warned if you're going there on a Saturday, get there first thing so you can get a number. We love Disney Springs. They have the Rainforest Cafe there too, which is one of the cool restaurants that we've been to many, many times. And Chris mentioned one of these a few minutes ago. Did he? No.
Yeah, the mini golf
The mini
course.
golf courses. Yeah, I got off topic. So there are two mini golf courses on the property, which is Mickey's Winter Summerland. And then there's another one, and I can't think of the name of it, but we've done both. And if you're a golfer, there are several golf courses at Disney. And I don't know why you would go all the way to Disney to golf. I don't understand golf, but hey, there's like two or three golf courses on the property.
Now that we explained a little bit about the parks, let's get into the extra magic hours and talk about rope dropping.
Yes. So we should probably start by explaining what rope dropping even is. You've probably heard the term and been like, what are these crazy Disney adults talking about? So rope dropping isn't some secret Disney code. It's rope drop simply just means to arriving at the, it means, I can't talk. I'm getting so excited thinking about it. Rope dropping is arriving at the park before it officially opens so you can be one of the first guests inside. Okay, I got it out. So we always rope drop. And here's how it works. So Disney allows their guests to gather in designated areas just before opening time. At the official opening, cast members will literally just drop the ropes that are holding the people back, and boom, you're off to your first attraction.
So why wake up early when you're on vacation? Well, here's the deal. The first couple of hours at Disney World are golden. Crowds are lighter, wait times are shorter, and you can knock out some of the biggest rides before the masses arrive. And if you plan it right, you can ride headliners like the Flight of Passage, Tron, Light Cycle Run, or the Rise of the Resistance with little to no wait.
I don't know. I feel like people run to those rides anyway, but you still have less of a wait. I've seen Rise of the Resistance. What's the longest wait we've seen for that?
Hours.
Hours, like 3 hours. Wait, it's worth it. It's a phenomenal ride.
It is.
But I think if you get in there first thing, you can probably cut that down to like a half hour or 45 minutes. But anyway, so I'm going to break down how to rope drop the right way for you guys so you know what to do. So first of all, get up early. You're going to want to be at the park entrance at least 45 to 60 minutes before the official opening. That means setting your alarm and getting out the door early. Next is to know what ride you want to go on first. Go in with a plan. Decide ahead of time which attraction you want to head to, and then prioritize rides that get long waits later in the day. And then, of course, you're going to want to use your early theme park entry. If you're staying at a Disney resort, you get a head start, so you get more park time, but it's only for people staying at the Disney resorts. Yes, they check. Yes, they will turn you away if you're not staying at a Disney resort and make you wait until the normal opening time. So this is my recommendation. If you're rope dropping, skip Main Street USA if you're at the Magic Kingdom. Resist that urge to go in the shops while they're not crowded, or you take your castle photos right away. Instead, head straight for your first ride. But if you're like me, you're going to stop and take castle pictures anyway. I do it every time. I've got thousands of pictures of Cinderella Castle on my phone, and there will be thousands more. Anyway, my last tip for rope dropping is to be ready to walk at a very brisk pace. Don't run. There's no need to run. Everybody's going to get there, but hoof it. Move with purpose. Others will. And of course, every minute of the parks counts.
Now, if you're staying at a Disney hotel on property, you get an even bigger advantage with early theme park entry and an extended evening hours. Now, let's talk about the early theme park entry. Guests at any Disney-owned resort and a select partner hotels can enter the parks 30 minutes early every day. This applies to all four theme parks. It might not sound like much, but trust me, those 30 minutes make a huge
They
difference.
do.
Then there are extended evening hours. If you're staying at a deluxe Disney resort or a deluxe villa, you get even more perks. On select nights, you can stay in the parks 2 hours later than regular guests. Right now, that is offered at Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
Remember the My Disney Experience app that I told you about last week? That's where you're going to find all the park hours for the day, including extra magic hours, because not every a park offers extra magic hours every day. They're
It
only certain
changes
days.
every
Yeah,
day.
it rotates. So you check the app so that way you can stay up to date with the times for the park openings and closings. And the app is also your park ticket. So you'll just, it's right in the app and you just swipe for every member of your party. But you can also get a card ticket, which is known as a Key to the World card when you check in if you'd rather. And that's just a physical card that acts as your park ticket and room key. Or you may want to upgrade to Magic Bands. Disney Magic Bands are wearable devices that you can use at Walt Disney Resort. Excuse me, that function as an all-in-one tool for park access, hotel room entry, lightning lane redemption, I'll explain that later, photo pass linking, I'll explain that later, and more. And they come in various styles and can be customized before your trip.
There are a few ways you can get a Magic Band if you want one. You can order them in advance, and if you're staying at a Disney Resort hotel, you can purchase Magic Bands at a discounted price through your My Disney Experience account before your trip. You can buy the bands at the parks. They're available at the parks, resorts, and Disney Springs, or you can shop online. You can also buy them from Shop Disney before your visit.
Yeah, or you can use an old magic band. So if you have a previous magic band, you may be able to reuse it if the battery still works. The new ones that they sell are rechargeable. And if you decide to get a magic band, it does need to be linked to your Disney reservation in the My Disney Experience app. And it's really easy to do it. So here's how you would do that. Open the app, go to the magic bands and cards spot, tap link a magic band or card. Enter the magic band ID number, which is found on the back of the band. Assign the magic band to a member of your travel party. Confirm and save. And then once it's linked, you can use your magic band, like I said, for park entry, purchases, and more.
And for lastly, Fate, we're going to talk about lightning lanes and then wrap it up for today.
Yeah, we know it's a lot, so it will give you time to digest everything. But let's break down Disney's new Lightning Lane system, which has actually replaced the Genie Plus and individual Lightning Lanes with Lightning Lane Multipass and Lightning Lane Single Pass. I know that was confusing. I still call them Fast Passes, which is what they used to be called in the olden days.
So if you've been to Disney recently, you might remember Genie Plus and an individual Lightning Lanes, but those are now gone. Instead, Disney has introduced Lightning Lane Multipass. This replaced Genie Plus and lets you book multiple Lightning Lane return times for a variety of attractions.
You said Verity. That's one of the words he always mispronounces. It's variety, but he said Verity. I don't know why you do that. We've talked about this so many times. Go on.
Anyways,
Anyway.
the Lightning Lane Single Pass, this replaces individual Lightning Lane and allows you to purchase access to the most in-demand rides one at a time. The goal, to make the system more user-friendly, though we'll let you decide if that's actually the case.
So let's start with the Lightning Lane Multipass. If you want to skip the standby line for multiple rides throughout the day, this is probably your go-to option. And here's how it works. You book it in advance. Unlike the Genie Plus that they just got rid of, you can now make your ride selections before your trip. You can choose up to three rides at a time from a list of eligible attractions in a single park. Once you use one reservation, you can book another, keeping the rolling selection going all day. The price varies based on the park, the day, and the demand, so expect it to be more expensive on busy days. And here's a pro tip. If you're visiting multiple days, prioritize the parks with the most in-demand rides for your multipass.
Now, what about those ultra popular rides like Tron, like Cycle Run, and the Rise of the Resistance? These are not included in the multipass. Instead, you'll need a Lightning Lane single pass for each ride. You purchase them individually, separate from the multipass. You pick your return time based on availability, and the price fluctuates, often $12 to $25 per person per ride, depending on the day.
So you're paying one set amount for one ride that day. Or you can just do the other one, which keeps a rotating ride selection all day. This one is just to book one ride that you pay for. So you're basically paying to skip the line. And it's for like the big rides like Guardians of the Galaxy or Rise of
Lines
the
with like
Resistance.
over an hour wait,
Yeah,
2 hour wait.
I also, before we go on, I would like to say we have never paid to ride a ride. We'll just wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
Sorry.
we're rope droppers too.
Yeah, because we bust out a lot of stuff early in the mornings.
So, pro tip, if there's a must-do ride on your list, be ready to book it as soon as reservations open. These sell out fast.
That's true. That was a good tip. Yeah, they do sell out. All right, so now you know how they work. Let's talk a little bit about strategy. Book them ASAP. If you're staying at a Disney resort, you can book your Lightning Lane passes days in advance. Non-resort guests will have to wait until the day of their visit. And stack your reservations wisely. Choose morning rides for your first multi-pass selection so that you can keep adding more throughout the day. Use the single pass for the biggest headliners, like we just mentioned. If your ride consistently, if they, oh my goodness, I'm getting all tripped up. If a ride consistently has a 2 hour wait, like Guardians of the Galaxy, Rise of the Resistance, Tron, a single pass might be worth it to you, especially if you're only there for a few days and you haven't had a chance to ride it. And sorry, my voice cracked. Watch the app for openings. Plans change and people cancel, so you might find a last-minute opening for the ride you thought was sold out.
So is this new system better than Genie Plus? That depends. It definitely allows for more planning ahead, but prices and availability can still be unpredictable.
Yeah, and like I said, for us personally, since we're usually there for a week at a time, we typically just wait in the standby lines. Very rarely. Well, no, I actually did pay for Guardians of the Galaxy once last summer because Jared was sick and he missed a couple of park days and they were still doing the virtual queue for Guardians of the Galaxy. So I did actually pay. It was $15 each for the boys to ride. So I forgot about that. That just came to me. But we don't pay for rides. That's crazy. Just wait. But honestly, it all depends on what you want to get out of your trip.
And while we're on the topic of rides, you may be wondering how you find out the wait times for all your favorite rides at the parks. The answer, again, is they're all listed on my Disney Experience app.
Yeah, all you have to do is click on the park map inside the app, and it will show you all the wait times, where the characters are, and anything else you may be wondering about the parks. The other ways to find out a wait time for the rides are just to walk by them. Each ride has the wait time displayed outside, so you know exactly what you're getting into before you get into the line.
And those wait times are pretty accurate.
For the most part, there's a few that are typically off. I feel like Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is usually shorter.
Yes.
I feel like there's a couple of other ones that are sometimes a little bit off, but yeah, they're usually pretty accurate. They know. Disney knows what they're doing.
So I think we've given you enough information for today. So come back next week because we're going to talk about all dining reservations, dining plans, and we have a bunch of tips for you to make your trip to go even more smooth.
Yeah, and as always, feel free to email me with any Disney questions you may have. You probably figured this out by now, but I love talking about Disney and I will answer you as best I can. You know where to find me.
We hope this was helpful for you, and we're looking forward to the third installation of our series on Disney for Beginners next week. We're going to touch on the dining reservations, the meal plans, and where to meet your favorite characters. Until next time, see you later, alligator.
He always looks at me when he says that. In a while, crocodile.